All right, let's turn into your Bibles, actually, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 by way of introduction. We're going to be getting closer to the end of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to cover verses 14 through 16 and really look at Paul and persecution. And remember, last week we just covered one verse in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and I talked about how it's probably one of the most important verses in the Bible because of what it says and how the Thessalonians, they receive the Word of God as the Word of God, and how it works effectively in us who believe. I mean, we have the key to the most powerful book in the world that will help us, and no matter what the circumstance that we may face in the Word of God, but we have to have faith in it. We have to believe it. That's going to work effective in our lives if we believe it. Well, now we're following up and start looking at, for this week as well as next week, and dealing with persecution. Because here's one thing that is for sure. If you are standing on the Word of God, if you're living your life based on the Word of God, you will go through suffering. You will go through persecution. Remember, Satan doesn't want you to be able to get the Word of God out. We'll talk more about that specifically next week, all right? The world doesn't want to hear the truth. People turn away their ears from the truth. So you can bet if you're going to have a life that's based on the truth of the Word of God, you're going to go through suffering. And if you're in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, you see exactly that it says there. Let me get there myself. But it says this: "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's a promise. I mean, that is a promise of the Word of God. We talk about standing on the promises of God. We sing that song, that we sang it last week. But this is one that is a promise. You can bet for sure, if you're going to live a godly life, like God, of course, laid out by the Word of God, you are going to have persecution. And that's what we're going to start seeing as far as in Thessalonians. So I actually want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to look at in verses 14 through 16 today, and really look at each verse a point: suffering in verse 14, persecuting in verse 15, and then forbidding in verse 16. As we'll see, that there are those who try to forbid Paul, Silas, and Timothy in the preaching of the Word of God. And again, what we see here today in 1 Thessalonians is the exact same thing that we have going on in our world today. Again, the world does not want to hear the truth of the Word of God. You're standing on the Word, you're going to go through persecution and suffering. So let's have a quick word of prayer, and we really need to get started in digging into what we need to see today. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for today. I thank you for your Word. I thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to settle our hearts and minds and be centered in what you have to say to us today. Father, this is one of those messages that, you know, nobody really deal with. Nobody likes to deal with suffering and going through trials and tribulations. I mean, that's not something that we pray about, saying, "Lord, help me suffer today." It's not that at all. But Father, the reality is, if we're going to stand on the truth of your Word, if we're going to do as you've laid out for us or laying out for us this year, a vision in dealing with preaching the Word or sharing the truth of the Word of God, we are going to go through some suffering. We are going to go through some persecution. And we are going to run into people that want to try to stop us from sharing the truth. Whether it's individually, where they don't want to hear it themselves, or actively trying to stop us as an individual or as a body of believers from actually preaching the Word of God or teaching the Word of God to others. So Lord, help us to understand these things. Help us to be aware. Help us to understand that we're not going to be surprised when this happens, but Lord, that we be equipped and ready to do what we need to do and continue to stand and preach the Word. So Lord, I pray that you help us to see these things today. Help us to apply the truth of your Word to our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get to it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's pick it up in verse 14. It says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Now, there's a number of things doctrinally that I can lay out here, and you might have a question of that. We have a question and answer Bible study afterwards. But I'm just going to say this from the get-go. When we talk about this, there's a difference in the church in Jerusalem or in Judea, and they were following the preachings of Jesus, obviously, but with Peter, James, and John. in their doctrine was dealing with that of the Jews that believed in Christ. And as you study things out, especially coming through the Gospels, you'll see that there's some differences in their salvation as opposed to what Paul was preaching as far as to the Gentiles. Now again, the body of Christ is made up of both Jews and Gentiles, but primarily Gentiles, and there's some differences at that time. So you do have these two different type churches or doctrines that are going on at the same time for a bit. Again, it's not my point to get into all of that today. Again, question and answer Bible study afterward. If you got questions about it, I'd be happy to dig into that. Or discipleship, we touch on that in our discipleship lessons as well. And of course, I'd be more than happy to deal with that at that time. But what I want you to understand from today and from what we're seeing here is that what Paul is laying out is the same persecution that the Jews that were not believing, that were persecuting the church in Jerusalem, were also persecuting and causing suffering as far as the church, as far as Thessalonica is concerned. All right? And we're going to look at that specifically. We're going to go back to the history book, the book of Acts, and lay some of these things out here in a second. But you see how, again, I want to read verse 14 before we actually kind of dig into some of these cross-references. It says this: "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." It's just like how the Jews persecuted the church in Jerusalem. What Paul is also saying is like, you've also suffered some things from your own countrymen. All right, your own, in a sense you could say, flesh and blood, your own people have caused you to have suffering and persecution because of your stand on the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you this from the get-go. In my life as a Christian, I by far experienced more persecution and suffering from those that I would say my own countrymen, in a sense, far as other believers in Christ. When it comes to standing on the Word of God and actually believing the Word of God and applying it, I have by far experienced more suffering and persecution, in a sense, from my own countrymen, from the own body of Christ, than I ever have of dealing with the world. Hands down. Hands down, I'll give you example after example after example of when that has taken place. Because of the stance of the Word, more than dealing with any kind of trial or suffering and dealing with from the world. And that's the same thing that Paul is laying out to the Thessalonians, the same thing that, the Jews that were believing in Jerusalem, same thing happened to them. And that's what I want you to go back and look at the book of Acts. Let's look at Acts chapter 4 first and foremost. We're going to have a bit of a history lesson today, and that's, again, how we learn the Word of God by comparing Scripture with Scripture. So Paul says, hey, the church in Jerusalem, the church in Judea, they went through suffering from the Jews. Well, let's look at it. Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at the first four verses. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. We'll have a number of references from Acts today. It says this. In Acts chapter 4, this is the beginning. Again, Peter, James, and John, they're preaching. I mean, there's no Apostle Paul at this time. There's no body of Christ. We're just talking about the Jews that believe the message of Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they are following, the dealing with the gospel of the kingdom. It says this starting in verse 1 of Acts 4. It says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide." So they put them in jail for preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't like that. The Pharisees, the captain of the temples, the Sadducees, they did not like that whatsoever. So they were putting Peter, James, and John, the apostles, in jail for doing that. They're going through suffering. But notice what it says in verse 4 of the same chapter. It says, "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. The church was still growing. All right. Even though there's suffering that's happened, even though there's persecution, we still see the Word of God is going forth, the Word of God is being believed, and people are growing and being saved. Now, let's actually look at chapter 8 of Acts, and we see the same thing. And this time, it's actually, we see that Saul, or the Apostle Paul, he's not saved at this time, he's Saul, he's actually part of this persecuting of the church, which was in Jerusalem, interesting enough. In Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 1. We'll read the first four verses of this chapter. It says this: And Saul was consenting unto his death. And his death would be, if you go back to chapter 7, we're talking about Stephen, who they didn't like. Again, the Jews did not like his preaching, and they stoned him to death. And Saul was right there. So again, chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. So he's taking them into the prison. I mean, this is before Saul or Paul was saved. And so he's part of this persecution of the church of Jerusalem. But look at verse 4, Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. What were they doing? Preaching the word. Even in the midst of the suffering, even in the midst of the persecution and the trials and everything that's going on, they still preach the word. You see, persecution shouldn't stop and hinder the preaching of the word of God. It should actually spread it. And when you actually study church history, you see that actually evident and taking place. Trish and I have mentioned this before, it's been some 30 years ago. A little bit more than 30 years ago, that we were in Romania. After that country and our communist government fell, we were able to open up, and our church was able to send ministry teams in there, like a team a month, basically. And we're there for 2 weeks working in several different churches. But it was amazing to see how rich their faith was, because they went through suffering, they went through persecution, and a lot of that was coming from the state religion that was in Romania at that time. The only time they were able to actually proselytize or preach the Word of God was at two events: weddings and funerals. That was it. Any other time, forbidden. That sort of thing. But persecution shouldn't stop the spread or the preaching of the Word of God. It should spread it. I'll give you another reference here, specifically in dealing with our doctrine, dealing with specifically the Thessalonians. Go to Acts chapter 17. We'll start in verse 1. Now, this is more lengthy than what I want to read, but Acts chapter 17, verse 1, we're going to actually read down through verse 13. So this is specifically dealing with the trials and sufferings that came upon the Thessalonians, as Paul is referring back to here, how they suffered, even of their own countrymen. But notice Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 1. Historically, this will be Paul and his second missionary journey with, again, Silas and with Timothy. Again, just like we're reading in 1 Thessalonians, it says this, starting in Acts 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So he goes in, that's Paul's mode of operation. He would go to a town and see where the synagogue is. That would be his base of operation, where he'd start preaching and dealing with Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And we see the results here, that it was good results, that there was a number of people and that believed, that he's opening and alleging and laying out the truth of the Word of God, which we need to be doing today ourselves. But notice what happens starting in verse 5. It says, but the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. They get a good old riot started. All right, you got these Jews that didn't believe, and they didn't get the cream of the crop. Let me get the most base people, the most vile people, to be able to start this uproar. And it goes on in verse 6, and it says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. What a testimony, actually. Glory to God that we have a testimony like that. That our testimony in dealing with the truth of the Word of God is so powerful that the people of the world think that we're turning them upside down, when really, what are we doing? Turning them upside right. All right? The right way. All right? Understanding the truth. So it goes on, and it says this. We're going to pick it up in verse 7, it says, "Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they trouble the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things." It's like, uh-oh, wait a minute, another king besides Caesar? Uh-oh. Verse 9, "And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let him go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Again, their mode of operation. We covered this just last week, actually. In verse 11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." An incredible testimony. Again, we talked about that last week. I'm not going to talk about it right now. Verse 12, "Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." But notice verse 13. "But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people." All right? And then they ship them off, and off they go again. All right? But you see where there is people standing on the truth of the word of God and preaching the word of God, there are going to be those who do not believe. And they're going to cause problems. There's going to be persecution. And that's exactly what takes place and what Paul is reminding and dealing with the Thessalonians about. So let's actually go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, in verse 14, I'll read it, and then we will move on. Again, from verse 14 it says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Now, before we move on, just something just came to mind. If we were to go back to Acts chapter 4, actually Acts chapter 5, we would see that the apostles, one of the things they do, they, again, the Pharisees call them in again, say, "Stop preaching in this name." Peter's like, "No, we're not going to do that." And they beat them. And when they left, they were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not woe is me, not that I'm going to stop doing this because I guess they're really serious about this. They rejoice because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. That's the attitude that we need to have. That is the perspective that we need to have when we go through suffering and persecution and trials and tribulations, because we're going to stand on the truth of the Word of God. Now, a lot of times, and we've seen it, and I've mentioned it in this last year, even more so, to where really, our First Amendment rights in this country are really being challenged by people that do not want to hear the truth. They don't want the word. This is archaic book. They don't want, and it doesn't suit their lifestyle. And so there is starting to be more and more persecution for the church because of preaching the truth. Last week, I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen it, heard it, but a pastor in Alberta, Canada. Or is it Alberta or Calgary? Calgary, Alberta. All right? Canada. That he was arrested for having church, of course, during the pandemic. Right? It was a few, I think, months or so ago before that, that the police came to try to stop his church service and said, get out, Gestapo, get out. And they left. Because in the law of Canada, you're not supposed to interrupt a church service. Right? So they arrested him this time after the fact. Right? And it's like, we think, well, okay, that's Canada, that's the one situation. What about here? We've already seen it. We've already seen it out in California. All right. My point is, as this world gets crazier and crazier and crazier, you can bet that the reality of us suffering for standing on the truth is going to be more and more realistic for the United States of America. And the question is going to be, are we still going to be bold enough to trust God to deal with whatever consequences that may come our way, in a sense, for standing on the truth, or are we going to succumb to the things of the way of the world? Let's move on. We see suffering in verse 14, persecuting in verse 15. Let's look at it. It says these Jews that, again, that caused the suffering not only in the church of Judea, but also in Thessalonica, their own countrymen. It says this in verse 15, "who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men." So that's a pretty damning characterization of these Jews and what they did. Now, again, this is backed up by Scripture and the Word of God. Paul's not saying anything that is not true. They killed the Lord Jesus. Okay, well, let's look at this. Let's go back to the Gospel of Matthew this time. If you look at Matthew chapter 27, where Jesus Christ is before Pilate, getting ready to be crucified. So Matthew chapter 27, we're going to pick it up in verse 20. Matthew chapter 27, down in verse 20. These same Jews, these ones that, again, were persecuting the church that was in Judea, was persecuting the Thessalonians, or Thessalonians, like we've already read in Acts 17. Paul says these are the same ones that they killed the Lord Jesus. All right? He's not mincing any words here. Matthew chapter 27, pick it up in verse 20. We're going to read down through about verse 26. It says this, "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. See, that's what happens when they don't have an answer. There was no evil that Jesus Christ did. There was no sin in him whatsoever. So when Pilate asked the question, well, what's the evil? Give me the evidence of the evil that he's done. Crucify him! There's no answer. They have no answer for that. Put him to death. They did not want Jesus. They did not want Jesus to rule over them. And so it says this in verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, we've seen a lot of that in the last year, haven't we? He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Now, you can say that all you want, Pilate, but Pilate still is going to be held accountable for his actions here. Because he had the power to let him go. But he didn't. Why? Because of the tumult. Because of the Pharisees. Because of the mob. When we start talking about some of these things, it's like, if we were in that position, what we would do? What would we do? Now, we're not going to ever be in a position of, obviously, deciding whether Jesus Christ is going to be crucified or not. But what about the times we're in a position to where we have to take a stand and be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we going to stand and be a testimony for the Lord? Or are we just going to sit down and not do anything or say anything? Because the crowd's against that. Pilate succumbed to the crowd. He had the authority and the power to let Jesus Christ go and give them, you know, and keep Barabbas to be crucified because Barabbas was worthy of death. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. So he washes his hand and says, I'm innocent from the blood of this innocent man, and so forth. And you go on and verse 25. It says, Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us. And on our children. That's crazy talk. But that's exactly what has taken place. Now again, I'm going to get into politics and dealing with the nation of Israel and so forth and so on, but I tell you what, when the religious leaders said that at the point of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a reason why the Jewish nation have had so many problems down through history. Now, they're still God's people, and God's going to save them. The Bible lays that out very clearly. Again, you have questions about that? That's where a question answer in Bible study is for. But this is just no idle statement that they're saying that means nothing to God. No? Okay. Verse 26, Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So you see, again, Pilate's not innocent in all this at all. But again, going back to what we're looking at as far as Paul and what he's saying about the Jews and how they've suffered, even of their own countrymen. I mean, these are the ones that killed the Lord Jesus. We have it right here in Matthew chapter 27. Not only did they kill the Lord Jesus, it says they also killed their own prophets. And if you're still in Matthew, just turn back to Matthew chapter 23. This is pre-crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is coming down on the Pharisees. You know, they talk about what would Jesus do? Well, have you read Matthew chapter 23? when it comes to the religious and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, man, Matthew chapter 23, he's coming down on them hard, hard, hard. I mean, he's saying, like you're not believing in the truth. You know what? And you'll go across country and everything like that and make a proselyte and make them twofold the child of hell more than yourself. That's what Jesus said. Well, that doesn't sound too loving. I mean, imagine if I said something like that to some religious person. You know what? You're not believing the truth. You're not entering into the kingdom, and you'll go and you'll reach somebody else and make that person twofold more the child of hell. People are like, well, Pastor Charles, that's not too loving. Yeah, read Matthew 23 and see what Jesus and how he deals with the religious. Matter of fact, what we're talking about, the persecution, just like I opened up in my own personal experience, the persecution that you're probably going to experience, probably more so than anything, not saying that you can't go through trials and tribulations from the world, you will and you can, obviously, but I bet you, if you stand on truth, you'll probably experience more suffering and persecution from the religious, the ones that say that they're serving God. That's what Jesus was dealing with, and that's who put Jesus to death, and also the prophets. In Matthew 23, look down at verse 31. Matthew 23:31. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. This is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and says, hey, you know what? You are the offspring. You are the children of the ones that killed the prophets in the Old Testament. You're no different than your parents. You're the exact same. You're the exact same. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. We've already read it. Acts chapter 17. Very specifically in dealing with the Thessalonians and Paul and his time in there. The Thessalonians understood what Paul was saying here because they lived it. They went through it. They were persecuting them as well. They persecuted and put to death the Lord Jesus. They persecuted and killed the prophets. And they had persecuted and, again, causing them harm as well. They, when they came to Thessalonica, or when Paul and Silas and Timothy, what did they know? They had an uproar. They had to send them away. Went to Berea. They came from Thessalonians, or Thessalonica to Berea. They even continued to persecute Paul, Silas, and Timothy. So the Thessalonians understood this. They were persecuting. Why? Because they're standing on the truth of the Word of God. And Paul says this, quite simply, and they please not God. God's not pleased with them. Now think about it. The persecution that the Thessalonians are going through, the persecutions that Paul, Silas, and Timothy are going through, they're going through those by the Jews, the religious. Religious people think they've got their laws and their commandments and how they think they need to follow and worship God. God simply says this, you know what? I'm not pleased. I'm not pleased with that. See, religion is man trying to be right or just with God. That's religion. See, God desires a relationship. And that's what the Word of God lays out. God's not pleased with man's religion. He wasn't pleased with the Jews. They think that they were doing God's service by persecuting true believers. We'll probably, and I know we will, continue that theme as we cover Revelation 17, first Sunday in June, as we cover Revelation chapter 17. We'll talk about a religious organization that persecuted true Bible believers. God's not pleased with that. I won't have you turn there for sake of time, but in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, it simply says, those that are in the flesh, being in the flesh, you cannot please God. That's religion. Man in the flesh trying to do something to serve God. If we're in the flesh, no matter what it is, even if it seems like it is spiritual, if it's against the Word of God, God is not pleased with that. We can't please God being in the flesh. And that's what Paul says here. Hey, they're not pleasing God here. And obviously don't please God, they're persecuting, but what you need to understand, again, the context, we're talking about the Jews that were, quote-unquote, what? Religious. And he goes on and says this in verse 15, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Have you ever known a person, especially if they got issues and problems, and they come to you for help, quote unquote, and you listen to them, you say, hey, well, it says this in the Word of God. Here, let me talk to you. And it's like every suggestion that you give, they got some reason why they can't do it. Contrary. Right? Or people that just always want to argue. No matter what it is. They got some argument. No matter what it is. Can't even begin to try to maybe see it and agree or anything like that. It's always contrary. Well, this is what Paul's saying. They're contrary to all men. They're contrary to the truth of the Word of God. And I do want you to turn to this. I want you to go to Romans chapter 16 real quick. Back to Romans again. Romans chapter 16. And we're going to pick it up in verse 17. Romans chapter 16, down in verse 17, and we'll read verse 18 as well. It says this. Again, Romans. Paul writes it. It says this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Don't even waste your time with them. Mark them. Understand who they are. Don't even spend any time with them. But notice what it says in verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. In other words, their flesh. Remember Romans 8:8. If you're in the flesh, you can't please God. That's what it means there. But they serve their own belly. And it says, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. The simple are those that don't, they're not grounded in the truth of the Word of God. They don't know the difference. They're not grounded in the doctrine like Paul is laying out here. And here's what you need to understand with these. They're contrary. They have doctrines that are contrary to the doctrine. And again, what they're saying sounds good, but in reality, they're being deceptive. They're deceiving. They're taking advantage of the simple-minded to be able to serve their own belly, to serve their own flesh. Paul says, you need to stay away from that. And there's a lot of that. And it's unfortunate. You know, we have this vision of preaching the Word and laying out the truth of the Word of God. And as I said before, it's not an easy climate. We talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, again, how in verses 3 and 4, how people are going to turn away their ears from the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They want a fable. They want a story. They want a nice little story. They can continue to live like they want to live. Think they have no accountability before God. They don't want God to be Lord of their life. Just give me, I don't want to hear the truth. I don't want that. But let me have a nice little story. Since I made reference to Canada, when we lived up there, they have this cough syrup. I may have mentioned this before. It's called Buckley's. They used to have commercials about Buckley's cough syrup. Tastes horrible, but it works. Stuff tastes terrible, but it works. I mean, when I was sick as a kid, it's like, okay, Mom, I need some cough syrup. Give me the great flavor. Yeah, that tastes good. It really worked. It seemed like to me, like cough syrup just made me cough more. But Buckley's, it worked. You look at the ingredients in that thing, oh my goodness. But it worked. And there's times, you know what, the truth may not be so palatable at times. It may not taste that good. It may not seem that good, but you know what? It works. It works. But we live in a day and age again where people don't want to hear the truth. They want to have a nice story. Paul says, you got to watch out for that. And watch out for it. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's move on. Again, from verse 14, we see suffering. Verse 15, we see persecuting. And verse 16, forbidding. I'm going to read from verse 15. It says this, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now, a number of things here in this verse. But you see where, again, they want to stop them from sharing the truth. so that people can get saved. Forbidding them, stopping them. Again, we could go back and reference Acts chapter 17, where we saw again how they were doing everything they can to try to run Paul and them out of town. You know, try to put a stop to them in preaching the Word of God. I mean, it was for their life. I don't know about you. I don't know how many of you have ever had your life threatened for preaching the gospel. All right? I haven't. All right? You know, but how many times have you had it where people's like, no, I don't want to hear it. They forbid you. They don't want to hear it. They don't want you to share it with anybody else. All right? It's like, well, we can't have that there. All right? That sort of thing. And it's like it happens all the time. I've used this story and I shared it before because it's a good one. But when I was living in Canada, I had a Bible study at a youth detention center. And I had a new chaplain take over. And then, you know, again, people will come to our Bible study, which was obviously allowed in the facility. And, you know, people ask me questions about how to get saved and so forth. And we'd answer that. Well, you know, she wanted to have a meeting with myself and the guy who was my assistant, a pastor at the time. And it's like, well, she literally was saying that you can't do that. You can't do any proselytizing. You can't share that. And so we had a meeting with her, and we prayed. We were in a car before we went into the facility, just praying, God, you just take care of things and all that. And so we sat down with her, and it was an amazing thing to see. I mean, it was just amazing. It's like the Lord just gave me all these verses. I mean, just one right after another. And by the time we were done, she was visibly shaking, and she said, okay, what you're doing is fine. But then there came a point to where we started having, I mean, we had stopped the Bible study for something, I forget exactly what happened. We had a new chaplain come in, but we wanted to get back into doing this. And so I again, met with this new chaplain and did the first Bible study. And then somebody asked me a particular question that she didn't even begin to let me answer the question. And she stopped that for me from answering that question. And then she stopped me from having the Bible study. That was the last time I was ever at that facility. She forbade me to be there to be able to share the truth. It happens. And it's like, hey, God's closed the door. Time to move on. It happens. So that we shouldn't allow that to stop us from continuing to preach the Word. But this is exactly what's going on. There's people that, quite frankly, hate God and His Word. And they do not want to see it go forth. And we're not just talking about lost people. I mean, they're lost in a sense, but we're talking about religious people. I don't have time to tell you about some of the other Bible studies that have been to by other religious groups. That one time, this particular lady, she was an Anglican pastor. This was in Canada. She literally said, it's almost like, you know, since we're a church, I guess we've got to have the Word of God. But she really didn't want to deal with the Word of God. It almost makes no sense. What, you're sponsoring a Bible study on a campus, but you don't even want to use the Word of God as a Bible study? It sounds crazy. But think about it. How many times have you been in a church or something like that to where it's not about what the Word of God says, it's about rules and regulations. Man's rules and regulations. And it's a church, it's a religious organization. That's literally what Paul is talking about here. In verse 17 it says, verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. All right, I want you to go back to Romans again, but this time, go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And we'll pick it up in verse 20 and get down to verse 22 where we really want to be. Romans chapter 15 and pick it up in verse 20 just to get a little bit of the context. Paul's desire to be able to come to Rome. He says this, Romans 15:20. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. If you want to reach new people. Verse 21, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Paul's desire was to come to Rome to be able to share the truth of the Word of God with those who have not heard it before. But notice, he was hindered from being able to get there. He doesn't give us all the details of how that all came about being hindered, but it was hindered. And we'll talk more about that next week as we pick up in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 2. He was hindered. Again, the world, they don't want the truth. Religious, they don't want people to understand the truth. If you studied your history and talk about the Dark Ages, again, we'll give some more insight when we hit Revelation chapter 17 in a couple of weeks or so. But if you study the Dark Ages, the reason why there were the Dark Ages was because you have a religious institution that didn't want people to know the truth. They didn't want them to have the Word of God. And when people don't have the truth, guess what it is? It's easy for you to manipulate and control people when they don't have the truth. You don't believe that? Turn on the TV and watch the news. How many people are manipulated because they actually don't have the facts? If you don't know the truth, truth shall set you free, as Jesus Christ says. It's easy to be controlled and manipulated. Folks, we're seeing it right before our eyes every day. Every day. And it's much worse than that because the reality is trying to stop the truth of the Word of God. This is what gives you power. This is what allows you to be able to live. I need to move on before I know I would digress if I continue on this. You go back to 1 Thessalonians 2, again, verse 16, last thing I want to pick up. It says this, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. Now, that word always is an English, Old English word. It's not always plural, like in dealing with something that's continuously happening. But all the way is like an amount. Like I have my water. Before I left for church today, I put my ice in there and I filled up my water all the way to the top. That's what God is saying here about those who seek to hinder and contrary to the truth of the Word of God, forbidding people to hear the truth. What they're doing is filling up their sin all the way. And the result of that is going to be, as it says, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Now, that doesn't sound pleasant at all. But that's how serious God takes this in people that are actively fighting against the Word of God and for people to hear the truth of the Word of God. That they're standing in the way of people sharing the truth of the Word of God. All they're doing is filling up their sin all the way, and the wrath of God has come unto them to the uttermost. That does not sound like a pleasant position to be in, to have God's wrath upon you to the uttermost. Not just a little bit, to the uttermost, experiencing the full wrath of God. Now, there's a number of references we could go to in talking about the wrath of God, but here's the one that I want you to go to and understand. I want you to go back to Romans again. Today it's all about cross-references in the book of Acts and Romans, seems like. But I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to look down to verse 17. Now, here's the thing to realize, that, again, with everything that Paul went through in preaching the Word, and all the persecution and everything that he went through. I took a whole cross-reference out this morning while I was thinking about it. But go back and read chapter 14 of Acts sometime. That's when you'll find the account that Paul, in his first missionary journey, that there's a particular town that they did not like him so much that they stoned him and thinking that he actually put to death. And the people that were with him thought, man, Paul's dead. But he got back up, and guess what Paul did? Went back into that same city. Continue to preach. All right? And continue on to preach. It's like no matter all the things that happened to Paul for the sake of the gospel, here's what he didn't try to strike back. He didn't try to get even. Just trust God. God will take care of it. And that's exactly what we see in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 17. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. In other words, don't repay evil for evil. Somebody does you wrong, do not get him back. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. And again, for the believer in Christ, What lies in us as believers in Christ? Well, we've got the Spirit of God that's in us. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are filled with the Spirit of God. And if we're doing what as Christians what we're supposed to be doing, we shouldn't be having the Word of God in us. We should be spending time in the Word. So it should be possible for us to live peaceably with all men. Now, again, I can't control and we can't control somebody else's actions, all right? If they're going to try to kill us or whatever, maybe we need to get out of Dodge, whatever the case is. I mean, we can't control anybody's actions. But still, we have the Spirit of God to help us to try to live peaceably with all men. And again, I don't think any of us right now are experiencing in our life if we stand up as Christians. We might get laughed at, talked about, lied about, you know, that sort of thing. We should be able to deal with that and plus allow God to take care of it. You look at it in verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let God take care of it. All right? For those that, again, if they come to a place where they don't repent and get saved, they're going to experience the wrath of God to the uttermost. What's our job? If there's anything that we need to see today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, no matter the persecution, no matter the suffering, no matter what's against us, contrary to the truth of the Word of God, what are we supposed to do? Still preach the Word. Still speak it. That's what we saw with Paul. Even though they had to leave town and get right back, what do you do? He went to the next town and started preaching. Not going to stop. Not going to give up. That's our vision this year. Yep. Preach the Word. Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. We talk about an example of Ezra in the book of Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Alright? But here's the thing we need to understand with that. When it comes to, we're going to be serious about the Word of God, there will be persecution. There will be things that will try to forbid you or hinder you from getting into the Word, try to hinder you from sharing the truth with others. I mean, it is literally par for the course. It's going to happen. And I'm not saying this to, you know, obviously to try to deter you from doing this, to stand on the Word of God. I'm not saying these things to be Debbie Downer today or anything like that. I'm saying this because I want you to make sure that you expect this is going to happen. I've seen it a lot where, you know, people, they accept Christ and they're excited about it and they're getting in the Word of God. Then all of a sudden, things happen. Things happen that start taking them away from the Word. Start taking them away from time with prayer. Start taking them away from them growing in the Word of God. It happens all the time. And the thing is, it's like, as mature believers in Christ, we need to prepare people. We need to prepare the people in our church and those who come to Christ that they need to understand that, hey, just understand that this is going to happen because it can easily discourage somebody. Because the thought can be this, and Satan is right there to put it in your brain. Oh, you're a child of God now. Why is this going wrong? Why is it tough on the job? Why didn't you have the flat tire? Right? I mean, all these things, they happen. They're like, well, you must not be a child of God. You know, everything is going bad for you. God doesn't care about you. That's what Satan starts doing. And starts discouraging and discouraging. It's like, we need to teach our people and churches, need to, you know what? Stand on the truth of the Word of God. I thought it was going to be done, but let me give you one more verse. And then I will sit down and shut up. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I feel like with this, I need to end it with this reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. In other words, we are not going to go through something in this world that somebody else hadn't already been through. It's common. Our problems, our circumstances are not unique to us. Somebody's been through it. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. The second thing that you need to understand is this next phrase, which is awesome. But God is faithful. He is faithful. No matter what you're going to go through, no matter what you're dealing with, God's faithful. He'll help you through it. Not only that, he says this, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. God's not going to allow you to go through something that you're not able to handle. And I know there's some things that seem like, man, this is tough. I don't know if I can handle this or get through it. God is not going to allow you to go. This is a promise from the Word of God. I open this message with a promise. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let's end it with another promise. God is not going to have you go through something that you're not able to handle. And I know there's things that may be hard at the time. Really, really, really gut-wrenching hard. But my Bible, the Word of God says, He's not going to put me through something I can't handle. He's faithful. And not only that, it says, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He's going to have the ability, He's going to have the way for you to be able to bear whatever you're going through. Not only is He not going to put you through something that you're not able to handle, but with that, He's going to give you what you need to be able to bear it. And guess what that's going to come from? His Word. And the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Romans 15:4. Right here. Would to God that this would be a message that every preacher would be preaching today. Not just some feel-good story and, you know, give you a little dose of, I don't know, Christian sugar to keep you coming back week after week after week when a little feel-good message is that really is not going to do you a bit of good in the reality of life. Folks, this is reality. It is. This is the equipment that we need. This is what we need to be hearing and understanding to make it through each and every day. Every day. This made me strange. I've been living for 52 years. And let's just take it that I've been saved since I was 19, getting ready to be 33 years a Christian in a few weeks here. And I was at work last night, and I'm walking around, getting my steps in. You know, dawning of the day is getting ready to happen. And it just hit me. This is a day. Today is a day that has never been in history whatsoever. What am I going to do with this? This day, May 16th, 2021, has never happened in the history of the universe. What am I going to do with this? Am I going to live for the Lord? Am I going to do everything that He wants me to do today? Or am I going to waste it? Because I'm not going to get this day back. None of us are going to get this day back. But every one of us, dawning of the day we get up, whatever, it's a new day. What are we going to do with it? Am I going to stand on the truth of the Word of God and trust God to use me to be able to try to reach others and make it a day that's going to count for eternity? Whether in my life that I grow a little bit more in my relationship with the Lord or be able to reach out to somebody to be able to try to help them out, or am I just going to waste it? Or am I going to succumb to the persecution and the suffering and what the world wants and just wanting me to, as I've said it several times this year already, sit down and shut up? Or am I going to stand up and speak truth? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for Your Word. And there are times like this that I can see why Paul preached through the whole night. There's no end to Your Word and the understanding and what we need to hear. There isn't. But Lord, I pray that You would help us take and just grab a hold of some of the things that You've shown us today. Even through my meager means of trying to communicate Your Word, Lord, I pray, Lord, help it to make a difference in our life, that we each and every day wake up and understand that we have a day that's never been before, that we have the opportunity to grow in our relationship with You, and hopefully have an opportunity to help somebody else along the way, to help somebody come to the understanding knowledge of what Jesus Christ has done for them. Or for those who understand that but are having trouble in their walk, and to be able to help them to grow and encourage them. Because the reality is, we are going to go through suffering if we're living for you. We are going to go through trials and persecution if we're seeking to share the truth of your word. That's the reality. It'd be great that we could have just rainbows and unicorns and everything is just happy-go-lucky every day, but that's not reality. We are going to have some tough times. But thank God you are a God that is faithful, that you're never going to put us through something that we're not able to handle. You're going to make a way for us to escape it. And that way is by the comfort of your word, the Holy Spirit of God in our life, the fellowship of believers that you have given us, the local body church to help us so that we're not by ourselves trying to do this on our own. The persecution and the suffering so much that we've experienced in the United States in this last year has been the fact that we need to be separated, mouths covered up, hard for us to be able to understand when we're trying to speak to people. There is a mind we know where that comes from. Satan does not want us to speak. Satan does not want us to have relationships with people and to be around people, to be around family, because we know that is an opportunity for us to be the light. There's been so much done damage to our country this day, in this last year. And it's not just COVID, it's been leaders and quote-unquote, as the Bible says, science falsely so-called, that has kept us and tried to keep us away from sharing truth. Lord, help us that no matter the persecution, no matter the suffering, no matter what this world, this government, whatever that may happen, we're supposed to be serving you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to stand and speak the truth. People may not want to hear it. They may shut us down, run us off, whatever the case is. But just like we saw with the church in Judea, just like we saw with the Thessalonians, just like we saw with the Apostle Paul, help us to keep sharing the truth. There are people that need it. There are people that want to hear it. Lord, direct our step and our way to them, and that we would never be ashamed to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.